The text that I'd like to share with you, it's not going to be totally expositional this morning, but it will be founded on the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. And it says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Maybe it'd be helpful for me just to begin to get a pulse of where you young people are, especially. How many of you have at some point in your life completely surrendered your life to Christ and said, "I'm yours, I'll do whatever you want me to do"? Could I see your hands? Thank you very much. I suspected it would be most of you, if not all of you. Now, the second question is a little more challenging. For those of you that have surrendered your life to Christ, how many of you right now, this morning, know for sure what God wants you to do and where He wants you to do it? Can I see your hands? That's what I figured, probably about just a handful at the most. Which leads me to ask this final question. How many of you this morning, you've said, "I'm willing to serve, and I want to serve, I'm just not totally sure yet what God wants me to do and where He wants me to go"? Could I see your hands? That's wonderful. That's what I suspected. You know, that is really where I was when I was sitting where you are today in Bible college. I had surrendered finally to the Lord. That was a challenge in itself. But I hadn't completely surrendered and hadn't found all that He wanted me to do. So I went to Bible college and I'm starting to learn about the Bible. I'm learning, you know, what ministry is. But I wasn't sure what God wanted me to do. In fact, the day that I graduated, all I knew was the next year what I was going to do. I didn't know what was going to be after that. I want to talk about doors this morning. You ever think about how many times you walk through a door every day? You walk through a door to get into this building and to get into this chapel. You walk into classroom doors. You go into your dorm room doors. You go into the cafeteria doors. Doors, doors, doors every day. Sometimes you might knock on a door and ask to be invited in to tell them about the gospel. Paul said, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me." Have you ever come to a door and you tried it and it was locked and you couldn't go in? You had hopes you wanted to go in that way, but you couldn't. Sometimes God opens doors and sometimes He closes doors, but He's got a plan for your life. Servants who fear the Lord is your theme for the year. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice and trembling. You're servants, but you're not sure which door God wants you to go in now. Wherever God calls, He opens doors. What kind of doors does He open? The first kind of door I want to talk about is what I call is a good door. It's a good door. Do you see that word effectual? "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." The word effectual is an interesting word. It means to cause, to be effective, to cause something to happen. It's the idea that if God calls you into ministry, He will give you the gifts, the abilities to cause something good to happen. You will be effectual in the ministry. Paul said it this way, "And I thank Christ Jesus the Lord who hath enabled me and that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." God put Paul into the ministry and God enabled him so that he would be an effectual servant in ministry. Some of you think you're going into counseling. God would have equipped you with the ability to minister and connect with people to help them in their lives. Some of you are interested in music. Caleb, you better know how to read music, do you? All right, you see, God gives gifts. And when He gives you those gifts, He also gives you a love for that. It's a good door. Some have wondered whether or not the ministry is really good. Some of you probably know 1 Timothy 3:1, "If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth what? A good work." The ministry is a good work. And if God is calling you to the ministry and you see ministry on that door, no matter what it is, pastor, missionary, Christian teacher, counselor, whatever it is, and God's calling you there, it is a good work. Don't ever doubt that, because the devil wants you to doubt that. He wants you to think that if you really give your life to God and you really go through that door that God wants you to go through, it's not going to be any fun. It's not going to be good. It's going to be problems. It's going to be trouble. I had to overcome that. That's not the door that I wanted to go to when I was in high school or even in college. I wanted to be a professional soccer player. I wanted to be a doctor. That's what my father was. I wanted to follow his steps. I wanted to be an airline pilot. That's what my uncle was. Those were some of the dreams that I had, and those were the doors that I really wanted to go for. And so you compare those doors to the ministry door. The ministry door to me just looked like not a good thing. My sophomore year at Bible college, a team approached me about taking a missions trip that summer. They were going to Brazil. They said, go with us to this mission trip. And I said, no. God has not called me to be a missionary. Let's not waste those missionary dollars on someone that, you know, he's not calling. They said, well, will you pray about it to get rid of them? I said, all right, I'll pray about it. A couple weeks later, they came back and they said, are you ready to go now? I said, go where? They said, we're going to Brazil. You're going to be on our team. I said, I am not going to Brazil. God does not want me to be a missionary. Really, it was, I didn't want to be a missionary. I didn't know what God wanted me to be. They said, well, will you at least pray about it? I said, okay, I'll pray about it. Now I promised. So I had to pray about it. The more I prayed about it, you know what happened. God convicted me. And so finally I decided, okay, I'm going to go on this mission trip. But do you know what? God, please don't call me to be a missionary to Brazil. I thought Amazon jungle, anacondas, this is no fun. This is not a good thing. This is a bad thing. Dying with an anaconda wrapped around your neck is not a good thing. That's my concept of missions in those days. God had to do work in my heart. I was still too much in love with other things, such as sports. And so that sophomore year, God reached down and he tapped me on the knee in the middle of a soccer game. Now, if you tap me on the knee, it's no problem. God taps you on the knee, it's a big problem. I ended up on the ground like a sack of potatoes, writhing in pain. Not twice, not three times, 13 times my sophomore year, God had to keep tapping me on the knee. He was trying to get my attention. Last time, I ended up in the hospital, waiting to have major surgery the next day, and the team that wanted me to go with them to Brazil, flew out to Brazil the day that I went in for surgery. That night, they're in the hospital room. It all came to a head. And I prayed. And I surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, the doctor had told me, he said, I can't guarantee you that you'll ever play soccer again or that you'll ever play sports again. I can't guarantee you that you'll even walk properly again. That was a major blow to somebody who was living for sports. So I prayed that night. I said, Lord, it doesn't matter if I play soccer again or if I play any sports. I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. And I meant it. And I assumed when I made that prayer that God was going to call me to the Amazon as a missionary in Brazil. A week later, that's all God wanted was my heart. A week later, I'm walking. 2 weeks after surgery, I'm in Brazil playing soccer with the Brazilians on the beaches of Brazil. Now, you ask me how that happened. I really think, you know, it's not a modern day America, but it was in a sense. God just wanted my heart. And my knee. He wanted all of me. I went down there expecting to hate it, but I said, I'm doing it. Whatever it is God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. You know what? I fell in love with Brazil. And a couple of weeks before I left, I'm on the beaches of Natal, and I'm praying, Lord, please call me to be a missionary to Brazil. I loved it. I learned a valuable lesson that day. Whenever you say yes to God and He calls you to a ministry, whatever it is, you will love it. Because every time He opens a door, it is good. It's a good door. And some of you might be a little bit nervous about ministry or whatever it is that God wants you to call you to. I'll tell you what, it is wonderful. I wouldn't trade that for the world. It's a good door. Secondly, I want you to see it is a great door. That's what the text says. For a great door and effectual is open unto me. It's a great door. Maybe you remember the story of Nehemiah when he went to Jerusalem and he's building the walls and he's doing what God wants him to do. And this opposition party comes to him and tries to get him come down and stop his work, and they want to have a powwow with him. And Nehemiah responds back to him. He says, I cannot come, for I am doing a great work. Why should I leave this work and go down and meet with you? It's a great work, he said. And I think of Nehemiah, really, building walls, that's a great work? And the answer is absolutely, because that's the task that God gave to him. And that is the way it is for any job that God gives to you. Whatever He calls to you, you need to understand it is a great work. It's a great work. The Lord's work, wherever it is great. If God leads you to teach children in kindergarten in a Christian school, that's a great work. If God leads you to counsel to help people, that's a great work. If God leads you to minister in a church with music, that's a great work. If God calls you to an unknown town in the jungles of Africa, that is a great work. We have a couple from our church that God called, and they've been over serving in Ghana. Telling you what, I got a privilege to visit them a couple years ago, and it's amazing to see what God is doing there. Souls are coming to Christ. Families are being won. It's beautiful. It's a great work. The ministry, folks, is a greater calling than any other position on planet Earth. Now, I heard a story, and I don't know if it's true, but I think it is. One of our former presidents of the United States, Richard Nixon, they said when he was a teenager, and I think perhaps a freshman or sophomore in college, he went to an evangelistic meeting or something. He was saved already, but it was there that he committed his life to Christ. He surrendered and said, for the ministry. He said, I will go to serve in the ministry. Richard Nixon made that commitment. But somewhere in the next couple of years, though he had said he was going to go through that door, he decided not to go through that door, and he went through another door. The door of politics. And he climbed the ladder and he became, I thought, for a long time, a very fine president. But he also is the one that resigned in perhaps the greatest scandal known today. There's others that perhaps should resign too, but you know what? His was a resignation of disgrace. Somebody that was with him shortly after his resignation, and he was so unpopular at that moment, and he had taken a train, and he had, as a train station, there was almost nobody there with him. This person that knew him said, I saw him stooped over, defeated, discouraged, destroyed. And it was there that I remembered the commitment he had made as a teenager. And the words came to him, if God calls you to the ministry, don't stoop to become president of the United States. God is calling you, young people. It's the greatest calling in the world. It's the greatest door you can ever go through. All these other doors are fleeting and brief, and they'll be done quickly. The door of ministry gives something that you can remember in eternity. Thirdly, I want to tell you, it's a grappling door. Grappling is a term that we use in wrestling. To grapple is to wrestle. When you go through a ministry door, you are entering the wrestling arena. When you enter the ministry, someone might as well paint a target on your back because the devil is going to shoot at you and he has pretty good aim. I don't want you to think that the ministry is always a bed of roses without the thorns. It's war, folks. Expect combat. It is serious and it is challenging. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You are fighting a war. Do not let conflict and trouble surprise you. You need to expect it. Paul said, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly, whether you go into ministry or not, you're going to suffer persecution. You just make sure that you're on the in the path, in the door that God wants it to be. But don't go out expecting it to be easy. I think sometimes it's easy in a Bible college to get these rosy-hued picture of how wonderful it can be out there. You know what? Nothing prepared me for what I was going to handle in my second year as a senior pastor. I heard the siren go by one day and had no clue that it was one of my young people. And she had grown up and was in the youth group where I taught. And she got pregnant out of wedlock. And she and this guy shacked up and they just hid from everybody. Nobody knew where they were. And she didn't come back to church. Their life just spiraled downward. And finally he committed suicide in her driveway. Shot himself with a shotgun. She was absolutely devastated. They took her to the hospital, the psych ward. Finally, 3 days later, she says, I'm okay. We had the funeral for her husband. She went and got the same gun, drove out in the country and killed herself. She was 9 months pregnant. That little baby in her womb died. I had to do the double funeral. That was not a fun time. And all the wonderful classes I had taken in Bible college, it just didn't help me to prepare enough well for that. I didn't know what to do. A couple of years later, I went to knock on the door of an elderly gentleman in our church that had been skipping for a while, and I knocked on his door, and he said, come on in, young man. I've been wanting to talk to you. He said, have a seat here. I've got something for you. And I sat down, and he brought out an 8-page typewritten paper, like a term paper, with the title, Why Ken Spinks Should Not Be the Senior Pastor of Berea Baptist Church. And he proceeded to read that to me for an hour, and I listened to him. Challenges, adversaries, problems. I got a call from one of the local TV stations one day. We're doing a special on Thanksgiving. This was the year of 9/11, 2001. 9/11 had just happened on September 11th, and then in mid-October, they said, we're doing a special coming up on Thanksgiving. We'd like to highlight your church as one of the several that we've picked. Is it all right for us to come and video one of your services? I thought to myself, well, that's a great opportunity, you know. Get exposure, let people hear the gospel, let us know about Berea Baptist Church. So I said, sure. What I didn't realize was when they taped that service, they were looking for little clips that they could pull out simply to make me look like a hate monger. And a couple weeks later, I was all over the news as a terrible hate mongering pastor because I had the gall to say that the devil was behind Islam. Now, I'm telling you, some people in my congregation were crying. It was scary. You know what? You're going to have those times in the ministry. Whatever it is, whether you're a pastor or not, it doesn't matter. You will have challenges. You will have adversaries. People will hate you. It's a grappling door. But greater is he that is in you, folks, than he that is in the world. And so you want to go and you want to face those. And you want to say, Lord, not by might, nor by strength, not human might or strength, but by thy spirit. God is the one that enables. And he'll take you through that. And he'll use those things for his glory. It's a grappling door. Paul was stoned at Lystra. He was whipped and beaten and imprisoned at Philippi. He was chased out of Thessalonica. He fought with beasts at Ephesus. Mobs, riots, false apostles, etc. And he ended up as a martyr. Is it possible there's somebody in this auditorium that goes through the door someday might become a martyr for Christ? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever it is, when I said yes in the hospital room, I sensed that maybe I would be a martyr someplace someday, and I was willing. It's a challenge. It's a great door. It's a good door. It's a grappling door. Finally, I want you to tell you that it's a glorious door. It is a glorious door. Wonderful rewards. All the suffering and the hard labor is worth it all. There are many challenges, yes, but there are also many more blessings. And I tell you what, the blessings far outweigh the challenges and the discouragements. I just read a letter this morning from a young man that just graduated probably 10 years ago from Bible college. He's now a pastor, and he was writing how discouraged he was. The more he wrote, though, he said, you know what, though, I really started the day out really discouraged, but this happened, and this happened, and this happened. You know what? If you open your eyes, you will see the many blessings that God gives. And if you simply say yes and go, you'd be surprised what God does to you and through you. I had the opportunity to speak in camp the year I graduated from Bible college, and a Bible camp up in Wisconsin. And I'm preaching through the week, and I noticed there was a young man there. He's a big, strapping football player. He's an all-star in the Milwaukee area. I could tell that he was under conviction, and I'm praying for him. Others were getting saved, and I'm praying for this young man, and saying, Lord, please. Finally, the last day there, I sat down with him. I said, Vince, let's talk. What's going on in your life? You're really struggling. You really want to be saved, but you're struggling because of something. What is it? He really didn't know how to describe it, and I could tell he was struggling. It had to do with his football career. I said, you afraid that God's not going to let you play football anymore? And he says, well, yeah. I said, why not? He says, well, he says, you know, you're football and you got to hit people. And I hit people hard, and that's just, you know, that doesn't seem like a good Christian thing. And I just feel that God would probably want me to give that up. I said, really? Did you see that in the Bible somewhere? Well, no, I just assumed. I said, you know what? I would think that if you're a Christian, you should be able to hit people a little harder. You just help them up afterward. That's the difference. He looked at me, are you serious? I said, sure. It's whatever sport. If you give your life to Christ, you ought to be the best you can be in that sport. And you want to play the game right. Don't be cheating. No cheap shots. You're not trying to hurt people, but you're trying to win. And that's the kind of thing, you know, God, the devil wants you to think, if you get saved, you got to give this up, you got to give that up, and you're not going to be able to have fun anymore. You know what? That's the lie. It's a good door. And you sacrifice the greatness of eternity in heaven if you don't take that door. He got saved. He got saved that night. He's a businessman up in Milwaukee. He called me a couple years ago and just wanted me to know that he was still walking with God. How thrilled I was. You know, what a blessing that was. Had an opportunity to lead a man to Christ one night. I was on cloud nine. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Came home and there was a message on my answer machine. It's before we had cell phones. And this man called me, and I called him back. I knew this was a troubled home. He said, I want you to take my daughter. I said, what do you mean, take your daughter? He said, I'm going to prison tomorrow, and I'm going to ask the judge to give my daughter to you and to the church. That was kind of an odd request. But I said, you know, I knew that 7-year-old Julie, she'd been coming to our WANA program. She'd been learning verses and trusting Christ. And her mom had abandoned the family and left. And dad, who was a drinker and carouser, had got himself into problem. And he was going to prison. No family wanted this little girl. The next day, I went to court downtown Cleveland with a family of the church, and the judge, the attorney, comes forward and says, "Your Honor, the defendant has requested that his daughter be left in the care of Berea Baptist Church." And the judge said, "Who? Berea Baptist Church?" He says, "Is anybody here from there?" I stood up and said, "Your Honor, I'm here." He says, "Would you come forward?" I came and spoke to him and brought this family with me. And long story short, he awarded custody of that 7-year-old girl to Berea Baptist Church that day. That family took her in and raised her for a few years. And then when they could no longer do it, we passed her to another family in the church that kept her until she graduated from high school. Godly young gal, and she got married to a Christian guy. She's living in Florida and walking with God today. What a blessing. Just because I went through that door. And I could go story after story. I got a call from the mayor of our city. He said, "Can I meet with you sometime?" And I said, "Sure." The next week I went into his office. He was struggling with some issues and problems. 3 hours later, he knelt in his office and trusted Christ as Savior. I'll tell you what, folks, the blessings of that kind of ministry are worth no matter whatever you go through. And to be able to stand in heaven someday with these folks by my side and say, "Lord, here's my crown to present to you." That's worth it all. Yeah, it's a good door. It's a great door. It's a grappling door. But it is a glorious door. And God has got a job for every one of you. He's got a special door, a special mission for every one of you. You stand up for Christ and you say, "I will go through the door that He calls me to." Follow Him with all of your life, and may God bless you as you do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of young people this morning. Thank you for the privilege to minister to them. Lord, I look back in my own life and see these young people where I was, surrendered but not sure what you wanted to do with my life. Thank you, Father, for the way that you have opened doors in my life. And I know that you want to open doors for these young people. Guide them. Direct them. Help them, Lord, in this time of life to realize that they will be going out and to join the battle. And in this boot camp of Bible college, help them, Lord, to train, to be disciplined, to become good soldiers for Jesus Christ. And would you bless them and use them and honor them for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.